Please rise if you are able for the gospel reading. The gospel reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 15 through 21. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me because I live. You also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me, and those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. Thus ends the reading of the Lord.
You may be seated.
The New Testament reading is from 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 13 through 22. Now who will harm you if you are eager to do what is good? But even if you do suffer for doing what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear, and do not be intimidated, but in your hearts, sanctify Christ as Lord. Always be ready to make your defense to anyone who demands from you an accounting for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect. Maintain a good conscience, so that when you are maligned, those who abuse you for your good conduct in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if suffering should be God's will, than to suffer for doing evil. For Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, in order to bring you to God. He was put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit, in which also he went and made a proclamation to the spirits in prison, who in former times did not obey, when God waited patiently in the days of Noah, during the building of the ark, in which a few, that is, eight lives, were saved through water, and baptism, which this prefigured, now saves you. Not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and powers made subject to him.
Let us give thanks for the reading of the word. Our two scripture readings today point us towards the hard places in life. Nancy first read for us from Jesus' farewell discourse. We talked a little bit about this discourse last week, that in the hours before Jesus is to go to the cross, he offers this final extended teaching that both sets the stage for his arrest, torture, and execution, but also promises hope in the future. We read this passage a lot at funerals, and there's one phrase that always sticks out to me whenever I read these words: I will not leave you orphaned. Like, I don't think that's how the disciples must have felt. They must have felt that losing Jesus, losing their friend, their teacher, their Christ, they must have felt abandoned, all alone, orphaned. This is their moment of great adversity. Great loss, great change is coming. And the words of Christ they cut right to the heart of this adversity. As if to say, don't worry. You're not going to go through this alone. You're not going to be orphaned. Skip ahead about a generation, and the earliest Christian communities are struggling. And as they are struggling, this letter begins to circulate. This letter that today we call 1 Peter. It was written in the 80s. That is the original 80s, not the, 80s we remember. It was written in the 80s by a community that was very likely formed from a man named Peter, a man that we know in the Gospels. And it's written to a church that is struggling. The temple had been destroyed a decade before. The diaspora had ended any ideas of a Jewish homeland. And the Christians were beginning to experience widespread persecution from the empire. It was another time of great adversity when people were looking for hope in the future. The disciples faced the adversity of losing someone they love. The people that 1 Peter is written to face the adversity of state-sponsored oppression and the end of a way of life. And sometimes we have this tendency to try to compare hardships. Oh, one hardship is greater than another. But sometimes tragedy is just tragedy. Adversity is just adversity. And there can be no timeline set on how to come through a hardship. Sometimes adversity is just going to hurt for a while. And our scripture lessons today, they lean into that hurt. They don't ignore it. They don't try to cover it up, but rather they lean into the hurt with the promise of the presence of God. As I was looking at both of our scripture readings today, I began to think of three lessons that were being spoke of in these scriptures. The first lesson I really thought of was that the Spirit shows up in the hard places. Jesus makes that promise in his farewell discourse. I won't leave you or abandon you. I will not leave you orphaned. Another is coming, an advocate for you. Jesus makes the promise that we will not be left alone, that the Holy Spirit is coming to be with us always. Take notice of that. Take notice of that promise that the Holy Spirit is not being sent as a reward for good behavior. The presence of God is not coming upon the disciples because they have been righteous, because they have said the right prayer. The Holy Spirit is not coming even because they have done the right good work. The Holy Spirit is coming as a comforter for the afflicted, a companion for the abandoned, and a restorer for the weary of soul. The presence of God is not a reward for the righteous. It is not a consolation prize for the disciples. But it is our living reminder that the love of God transcends the hurt and the loss and the suffering that this world is so well known for. The Holy Spirit is our companion in the suffering, not our escape from it. So that's the first lesson that I took the Spirit shows up in the hard places. The second lesson I took was that hope can be an act of defiance. A moment ago, Nancy read 1 Peter 15, and we read that from the New Revised Standard Version, updated edition, but I actually really like the way that the Common English Bible translates that passage. The Common English Bible translation reads like this: whenever anyone asks you to speak of your hope, be ready to defend it. I like that. I like that idea that people were noticing that the Christians had hope when they had no reason to be hopeful. It must have shown on their faces, or it must have been in the words that they spoke. People were taking notice that the Christians, despite the loss of the temple, despite the diaspora, despite the torment from Rome, the Christians remained hopeful. People must have noticed that. And Peter's saying that when people notice it, when people ask you about it, be ready to talk about it. Be ready to explain why you have hope in hopeless times. You see, hope is the choice that we make that when the world is falling apart around us, we do not let the hard times define us. We do not let the hard times deplete us or defeat us or destroy us. Hope is the choice we make in the hard times. The final lesson that I took from our scriptures today was that suffering doesn't get the last word. The First Peter passage ends with a reference to Noah and the great flood from Genesis. The waters that had been known for destruction and devastation, where 8 people survived. 1 Peter 3 uses that imagery and then invites us to think of different waters. That the waters of destruction and death and devastation have been replaced by the waters of baptism. That the waters that once destroyed indiscriminately are now reimagined as salvation. Suffering doesn't get the last word. The waters of the flood don't get the last word. Our hurts and our pains don't get the last word. The hope of Christ is always yet to come. Let's be honest for a minute. Sometimes we show up to church with dishonest faces. We show up as if life is going perfectly sometimes. Yet we know that we all face adversity. Some of us face it day to day, others face it only occasionally, but all of us who go through life face adversity. None of us get out of this life without any scars built up. Whether it be on a personal level or a cultural level, we can't get through life in this world without facing some kind of hurt. You know what the disciples felt like. Maybe you don't think about it often, but you know what it feels like to lose someone you're close to. Unless you're very young still, you've gone through a great loss in your life. You've lost somebody that you thought you could not live with losing. You know what it felt like to be one of those disciples learning Jesus was soon to die. Maybe for you it was a phone call that told you that someone you loved had days or hours left to live. Maybe you have been sitting at that bedside as somebody drew their last breath. Maybe you were the one that had to make the painful call to end treatment. I know you've got those stories. We've all got those stories. And they all hurt, and they're all blessed, and they're all horrible, and they're all sacred. We've all got the stories of personal hurt. Many of us also have the stories of culture-changing adversity, like the one we know about in 1 Peter. Maybe you don't live it all the time, but you live in a world where cultural hurt happens regularly. You know a world where genocide is public policy. You know a world where terror is a tool of the powerful. You know a world where basic human rights are violated without thought or care. And oftentimes we have the privilege of being a little bit removed from that. But we are never so far removed that we don't understand that kind of adversity. So when I stand up here this morning and I'm talking about adversity, I don't want you to just have it as a conceptual idea. I want you to remember what it feels like. What it feels like to have that hurt in your heart that you do not know if you can recover from. You remember what that feels like. Because that right there is right where we're invited to meet God. Right in the midst of that hurt is the invitation to experience the living presence of God in your life. You see, removing adversity from the world, that's not the goal of the church. That's a good thing for the church to do, to continue to work to reduce adversity. I think the church should always be involved in the work that eases pain in the world, whether it be on a personal or a societal scale. We should always be comforting those who have lost loved ones. We should always be working to end things like hunger and homelessness and war and disease. We should always be involved in that thing, but it's not the goal. The goal of the church is not that we are going to end all adversity, because if that was our goal, we would always be failing. Because there will always be another new adversity for us to face. Because even if we ended all the human-caused adversity, and we're very far from that, even if we ended all of the human-caused adversity, we would still have natural disasters. We would still have the mere fact that we are mortal beings. We will always have adversity. And it's good that we always have something to challenge. But here's what I think the goal of the church should be when facing adversity. The goal of the church should be to always be pointing out that God is present in the midst of the hurting. Because so often, too often, when we experience that pain, that hardship, that grief, when we experience those moments of hurt, so often it is so easy to think God cannot be in that. God must be absent from the hurt in my life, from the hurt in this world. What if the goal of the church is to always be saying God is present there too? God goes with us into the hardships of life to be present with us always. Perhaps that is the unique calling of the church. We've got a lot of organizations out there dedicated to reducing adversity, and the church should definitely be one of them. But a unique calling of the church, something the church that can do that no one else can do, is to point out the living presence of God in all the hardships that we face. Let's be the kind of church that continues to point out God is here. Friends, let's be in a moment of prayer together. Holy, loving God, we face a lot. there are a lot of hardships that we come up against. Some of them we share in our communities. A lot of them we don't. Sometimes we show up on Sunday morning looking all put together when the reality is that we're breaking inside. And sometimes when we break inside, we forget where you are. Remind us in our worshiping today of your presence with us, now and always. In Christ I pray. Amen.